Today on Real Life Radio.
I want to encourage you this morning that your relationship to Jesus Christ, who by the way is your ultimate friend, and a godly friendship with someone else or a handful of people could very well save you in this journey in your Christian experience.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J. thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack in a message called Friends and Foes in the Fellowship. Part 1 begins in the book of Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 through 30. It's at this time when Paul sends Timothy and Epaphroditus to the Philippian church to receive news about them. These two friends proved themselves to Paul to be united with him in serving Christ. Paul's trust was ultimately in the Lord Jesus Christ, and so it should be that way for us too. Though many Christians are not trustworthy, they think only of themselves and therefore only pursue their own interests. The friends we fellowship with need to be, by virtue, a disciple of Christ. But, you know, we can't just make oneness happen or simply order it to be so. Only friends with a heart for God will sincerely care for our well-being and unite with us in furthering the gospel message. Today, Pastor Jack tells us that we're to be careful as Christians of not only the friends that we make, but also the company that we keep. Always best to have like-minded believers as our friends and to keep those friendships faithful, the ones that last over time. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
We ask that you bless this time of study. And Lord, I must confess this morning, I'm not quite sure how this message is to come out. This is a very tender portion of Scripture. And Lord, may we just not have another Bible study today. May the setting somehow be transformed, that we would have almost, as it were, a living room. If maybe I could have it my way emotionally, we could have a living room right here. We'd be sitting around a table maybe, drinking coffee, eating toast or something, and talking about these issues that are before us because we see the very tender heart of the Apostle Paul. So Father, we pray as a church that you'd give us insight to understand. We pray in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Well, church, take out your notebooks and turn in your Bibles, by the way, to Philippians chapter 2. We're going to be in verses 19 to 30 today as we begin what will no doubt be a multi-part message. The title is Friends and Foes in the Fellowship. Friends and Foes. Blessings and Enemies in the Fellowship. In the Fellowship. Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 to 30. In the 2001 blockbuster movie by Peter Jackson, as he took J.R. Tolkien's Lord of the Rings, he made an epic movie, as you all know. And I'm curious, how many of you have seen Lord of the Rings, the movie? Raise your hands. That's a lot. Let me see. How many of you have not seen it? Raise your hands. Okay, wow. Okay, you ought to see it, those of you. And I want to be careful because I don't ever want to endorse movies because... And it's completely clean. It's just that the Lord of the Rings series is terrifying because of the accuracy of what Peter Jackson was able to capture based on the writings of J.R.R. Tolkien in modern day graphics. In fact, it won so many awards because of its ability to put onto the screen things that were previously unimaginable regarding the books, The Lord of the Rings. And, well, I'll tell you what, I'll read a little bit of it. It says that it's a series, The Fellowship of the Ring, in the series of The Lord of the Rings, is the first volume of J.R.R. Tolkien's The Lord of the Rings, which is set in Middle Earth. The story tells of the Dark Lord Sauron, who is seeking absolute power to rule the world. The story features a most unlikely character, the young hobbit Frodo Baggins, who, against all odds, holds the fate of Middle-earth with his eight companions, who, in order to survive, form the Fellowship of the Ring. United, they take a journey to Mount Doom in the land of Mordor in order to destroy the demon forces of hell. World War I British Lieutenant J.R.R. Tolkien, having witnessed the horrors of that world war, was inspired to see that such evil on earth had to originate from another world, an invisible world locked in an epic battle between good and evil. J.R.R. Tolkien was a Christian and a friend of none other than C.S. Lewis. And when Tolkien saw the battlefield of World War I, he just absolutely came to the conclusion, man cannot do this to man on his own. This has got to be demonically inspired. But then again, good is battling evil. So the good that's being portrayed and the evil that's being portrayed, what's going on? And again, I want to encourage you to see the series of the movies. I do not encourage young children to see it. They'll probably have nightmares because Tolkien gives description of the orcs, for example, these demons that are created by the Dark Lord, and they're being birthed by the thousands to form an army that would go up against those that lived in Middle Earth with one goal in mind: to capture the son of the king, sound familiar, and destroy him, and thereby taking over all things. Powerful descriptions, colorful, and somewhat terrifying. But without their personal mission in that movie, The Lord of the Rings, insignificant, odd-looking Frodo Baggins becomes the star figure of the entire story because he's a hobbit, and yet he has the right heart. He's committed, he's devoted, he's serious, and God assembles to him his companions. And I want to equate that illustration with you and the church today. You and I are insignificant. You and I are not the characters that we would think that God would pick to advance his kingdom. Who are we to go up against the Dark Lord? And what can we do? And yet by the fellowship of sticking together through thick and thin, which is the beautiful thrust of so much of this series of Tolkien's, that they're able to endure the most horrible hardships and terrifying moments. And so are you as a Christian today. So are we as believers. Now today I want to be faithful to the teaching of the Bible, but I pray, and I even have written myself some reminders in here regarding the application of all this. I don't want to get so bogged down in the history of it all that we miss it. And you're educated, but not applicated. And so today I want you to try to see yourself, as it were, strap on the sandals and enter into this. Philippians chapter 2, we pick it up in our verse-by-verse study. Verse 19, Paul says, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy," you ought to circle his name, please, "to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state." He's talking about the condition of the Philippians back in Macedonia. Verse 20, "For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state or condition. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. But you know his proven character, that as a son with his father, so he served with me in the gospel. Therefore, I hope to send him at once as soon as I see how it goes with me." Isn't that amazing? A translation. I hope to send him to you soon, but I don't know if I'm going to live or die. I'm waiting for the sentence to come out of the Roman leadership. So if I'm alive, you'll know it because I'll mail him to you. I'll send Timothy to you. He says, but verse 24, "But I trust in the Lord that I myself shall also come shortly." We'll cover this study today, but let's just read ahead. Next week, we'll cover verses 25 to 30. "Yet I considered it necessary to send to you," mark this guy's name, "Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and the one who ministered to my need, since he was longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. For indeed he was sick, almost unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore I sent him the more eagerly, that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and I may be less sorrowful." Verse 29, "Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such men in esteem. Because of the work of Christ, he came close to death, not regarding his own life, to supply what was lacking in your service toward me. Church, obviously you detect in the reading of these verses two key names, two people. Number one, you kind of know who Timothy is. We'll talk more about him in a moment. But as we'll see next week, without the mentioning of here Epaphroditus, we wouldn't know who that guy ever was in history. And you'll see next week, how important a man who is seemingly insignificant and obscure in the church became such a vital part of the witness of Christ to not only be an example to the church and to us today, 21 centuries later, but Paul the Apostle thought the world of this man, Epaphroditus, who, I'll bait you with this, his name Epaphroditus means, I belong to Venus, or I belong to the paganism of the world. In fact, lewdness. How would you like to have a name like that? I belong to lewdness. Look, I don't know what your name means, but God saved you. My name means Jack. Jack is what lifts things up. It's a metal, most often a metal device that jacks up a car to change the tire, or it's a type of animal related to the horse family. That's about all my name means, not much. But I thank God in heaven I'm not going to have my name. The Bible says God's going to give us all a new name. I, for one, am going to be glad to get a new name. My name will not be Jack in heaven. It will be some noble, regal name, I'm sure. That won't be hard to achieve. It'll be anything but Jack. He gives us a new name. And though Epaphroditus is his name, that he belongs to Aphrodite or Venus, that he belongs to a pagan system. He had become a Christian. He's been converted. He's changed. What about your life? Well, the same can be said about this man, Timothy. And as we get into this study today, I want to say this up front by way of preparation. When we talk about Timothy, Epaphroditus, you're going to hear some other names today in our lesson. I want to exhort all of us to be very careful about the friends that we keep. I know this is a very sensitive thing, but we have to talk about this and keep it through your mind, up front and center. Be very careful as a Christian about the company you keep or the friends that you make. Now, I don't know how many friends you have, and we'll talk more about the magnitude and the multitude of friends, but do you have very many friends? I'm curious. I don't know how many friends you have. According to my Facebook site, I have almost 21,000 friends. I didn't know that. Are they really friends who can friend you one day and befriend you the next? Like you one day and unlike you the next? We use the word friends. Are you my friend? Will you be my friend? Listen, we have very few friends. But as Christians, how are these friendships developed? How do we experience friendships? And what about the fellowship in a world, even in a church age, where there's friends and foes? How do we deal with that? I want to encourage you this morning that your relationship to Jesus Christ, who, by the way, is your ultimate friend, and a godly friendship with someone else or a handful of people could very well save you in this journey, in your Christian experience. I want to give you this verse, though I gave it a couple weeks ago. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25, the Bible warns us about these last days in which you and I live in. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. That's a personal, engaging, face-to-face relationship with another Christian. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Don't ditch church. That's why we cut off live streaming within a 15 or 20 mile radius. Did you know that? Boy, did we get flack for that. No, scratch that. The office got flack for that. I heard about it. I went to the office and I told them, you tell them when they call. It was my decision. It wasn't even my decision. I don't know if you know about this or not, but we're going, I guess I didn't plan on doing this. This is something God used this verse about. Keep your finger right there on Hebrews. God busted me royally. People that lived down the street from this church stopped coming to this church because they just stayed in bed, ate breakfast, and watched online. That's okay if you live somewhere else in Timbuktu or your legs are broke. We can make corrections for that. But what we were doing was adding to the local community of people to not go to church anymore. That's not church. You cannot be in bed without fellowshipping one with another and worshiping with each other and call it church. Now, if you're sick, I got that part, and we can make concessions for that. We got that part. But if people gave up on coming to church because they were too lazy to go to church, who's at fault? Not them. We gave them the opportunity. We aided and abetted their slothfulness, their apathy. Are you with me? I don't even know why I'm asking you. I don't need you to be with me. God convicted me sick about this. Jack, you're contributing to those ditching the assembly. Yikes. Now listen, he goes on in Hebrews 10, 25 and says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but, or in opposition to, we should be exhorting one another. That takes face-to-face, you know. And today's an exhortation. Exhorting one another. Can I say this lovingly? Getting in one another's face. Lovingly, as brothers and sisters. And so much more as you see the day approaching. Listen, church, are the days getting crazy? Is the world off its hinges? Is the Lord coming back? Yep. What should we do? Nothing. No, the opposite. Get together more. Pray more. Get involved more. Gather together. Get stronger. Get face to face in our relationship more. That's vitally important. So here we go. As we look to this, friends and foes in the fellowship, verses 19 to 24 is one point today, and it is this: like-minded believers will become your friends. Will you write that down? This is a great word of advice. I steal it from the Bible. Like-minded believers will become your friends. You don't go to somebody and say, will you become my friend? That's ridiculous. The Bible teaches us that like-minded, you need to mark that down. Write it in the margins of your Bible or your notes. Like-minded believers will most definitely, absolutely become your friends. You'll either be coalescing to someone or a group of people, gathering together to a group or to someone because of the clothes they wear, the language they use, what they do with their hobbies or their time. Some of that could be dangerous. Some of that could be benign. Or, listen, you would assemble yourselves together with those who are like-minded. We are Christians. We are to be gathered together with like-minded people. An exhortation given to us by Jesus Christ himself in John chapter 15, verse 15. Jesus says, no longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Notice the chronology. Jesus says, I tell you guys, the disciples who've hung out with me through this tremendous time of these last 3.5 years of ministry, and it's about time for me now to be crucified and go to heaven. He said, here's the bottom line. Everything my Father has told me, I have told you. That will not happen outside of any other context for the good, except around those in the scripture like-minded. This is why we have the Bible. Take your Bible, hold up your Bible, even if it's electronic, hold it up. Hold up this Bible. Why did you bring this Bible here today? Look at that. Oh, that's a beautiful sight. Wow, this is why we are here. It's this inside of us. It doesn't matter what continent you were born on. It doesn't matter what financial status you're at, what level of education you have. When we dive into this book, we become like-minded. It is a divine, supernatural work. That's why the world thinks all of us are crazy, because we all think the same. You're all brainwashed. Hallelujah. Brainwash me some more. Exactly. Wash all the junk that's been put in my mind out. Because all the junk that went into my head did not serve me well in my BC days, before Christ days. That's why the Bible says for our minds to be renewed. We need to have our minds renewed. Like-minded. We are to be like-minded. In Philippians chapter 2, just look a few verses back, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Jesus, the walking, living, breathing Word of God, is now to be read in our Bible. It is the expression of the Holy Spirit here, the breath of the Spirit that we have our Bible. So number one, we see that like-minded believers will become your friends. So we look at verses 19 to 20. Friends will be developed in or over time. You just can't declare somebody to be your friend. Friends will be developed. Real friendships are made. Notice with me in verse 19 where Paul places his trust. He says, I trust in the Lord Jesus. You ought to circle that and say, regarding my Christian life, I need to trust the Lord. I have a good friend that tells me, always, Jack, remember, keep your eyes 6 feet and higher when dealing with people. In other words, keep your eyes on the Lord in dealing with people. Isn't that a great, that's great wisdom, simple. That's kind of like farm boy wisdom. Keep your eyes 6 feet and higher. Why? Keep your eyes, that's a graphic way of saying keep your eyes on the Lord. Paul says, I trust the Lord. Christian, do you trust the Lord? Jack, do you trust the Lord? This is what you and I work on every day. Listen, I'll confess for you. I do not trust the Lord as much as I would like, as much as I should. I need to trust him more. How do you know, Jack? How do you know when you don't trust him? I begin to reach for my fingernails and bite. I begin to fret. I begin to get anxious. I begin to panic, get in the flesh. When I'm trusting God, you can't be trusting God and be in the flesh. Paul says, I trust the Lord. And what I'm about to say, this is a precious thing because he's talking about being one. When he says, I trust in the Lord, he's saying, I'm placing my very, very issues of life in the capable hands of God. It's oneness with Christ. This oneness, mark it, church, that it's the job of the Holy Spirit to make you and I one with Christ. That's his job. And that was the very desire of Jesus. Friendships are developed in time. And a biblical friendship is one that is united around the Word of God, and that is loaded, that we could spend months on what that must mean, but it is the Holy Spirit that is behind all that. Mark it down, if you would, John chapter 17, verse 10. It begins there, John 17, 10. It's the high priestly prayer of Jesus. John 17, 10, Jesus says, and all mine, he's praying to his Father, all mine are yours, and yours are mine. He's talking about us. Man, I don't know if you're suffering from low self-esteem. If you have low self-esteem, you're always going to have low self-esteem. Because why? Because it's self-esteem. Listen, it's best to have God esteem. Why? Right there. Listen, you'll never have low self-esteem again if you realize how much God esteems you. He loves you.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in a message called Friends and Foes in the Fellowship, Part 1. Thanks for listening today, and our hope is that your ultimate friend is the Lord Jesus Christ, for he will never leave you nor forsake you. We'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Have you ever had that feeling that your future is behind you? We often forget about the life that's waiting for us. Instead of focusing on heaven and the freedom we have to pursue Christ, our minds are only on the challenges that we're facing right now. Well, if that sounds like you, we have a great way for you to stay focused on Christ. It's Pastor Jack's desire that your relationship with the Lord takes on a whole new level, and downloading the Real Life mobile app is a great place to start. Everything that Pastor Jack has to offer media-wise is right there on the app, including Real Life TV, podcasts, live streams, and even our very own Real Life Radio broadcasts. You need encouragement? Check out Pastor Jack's messages, Bible studies, and weekly devotions. Maybe you're looking to connect. We'd love to hear from you, or you can connect with Pastor Jack on social media if you'd like. It's all right there at the Real Life with Jack Hibbs mobile app. You can access the Real Life with Jack Hibbs mobile app at the App Store and from our website. That's at jackhibbs.com. One more time, jackhibbs.com. Our phone number, if you'd like to write this down, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.